on AM 1130 by 99.9 FM, Prescott, Chino Valley, and Paulden 95.5 FM, Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, the talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's
Hammer Time.
Waking up with the YCCA. Hammer Time is brought to you by All West Fire and Security, Pure Solar, Franklin Plumbing, Prescott Home Safety, Vicente Landscaping, Badger Roofing, Blind Brothers Arizona, Barrett Propane, Builders Wholesale, Call Tex, Foxworth Galbraith, and Dignity Health. And now from the studios of KQ&A, it's Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA. Here's the Executive Director of the Yavapai County Contractors Association, Sandy Griffiths.
Everybody, welcome to Hammer Time, brought to you by YCCA and our super fine members, our sponsors. You know what? Life is good.
It is wonderful.
Last week, we had a super cool program with Mr. Mike Moyer of Moyer's Heating and Cooling. And guess what I did?
I know, but I was privy to it, so go ahead.
I called you. I was so excited. So, listeners, you've got to go back and listen to the program because we were talking about humidity.
Right.
I went and I kind of wanted a humidity tester.
Mm-hmm.
I asked for a meat thermometer, but that didn't go over. So I went to a hardware store and bought a humidity stat sensor.
Humidistat.
A humidistat. And it's the cutest little thing. It's sitting on my little table. It was $26. It's got it down. It's right on with the temperature in my house. It matches my thermostat exactly. And so my humidity, after letting it sit there for 12 hours,
uh-huh.
so you can get an accurate reading, was 25.
Ah, I was going to ask you, it was around 30. Okay.
So that's low, according to everybody's online presence. Social media, 25. No wonder your skin is itchy.
I was just going to say, so if you were to get a humidifier.
So that was my next purchase. I did. I bought two.
Did you?
Yes, because now I'm so, like, into this humidity stuff.
Folks, she is glowing this morning.
So, they're on and working, and the humidity has risen from 27 to 29 in my house.
Super. You're working on it.
So, I'm working on it.
Good for you. Good
now,
for you.
I don't know if it has done anything for my hair yet, but
it'll make it curly.
It will soon find out. So, I'm thinking, everybody, you need to go get yourself a humidistat.
Mm-hmm. And the one that you bought, just and you alluded to it, it shows both the temperature
yes.
and the humidity,
yes.
which is great to have.
Yes. And it's very cute. It just sits there. You don't even know. It doesn't talk to you. It doesn't blink. It doesn't do anything. And there's a gazillion types of humidifiers, believe me.
Oh, of humidifiers.
Yes, okay. Believe me. But they're so cool. I've learned how to fill them. It doesn't leak, and it's pretty nifty.
Cool.
So, let's go to break.
Okay, it's a wealth of information on humidistats and humidifiers. But in the meantime, you're listening to Hammer Time. It's brought to you by Yavapai County Contractors Association, and we're pleased to be airing on Talk of the Quad Cities. That's KQ&A 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM. So please stay tuned for some super spectacular messages.
From our
over-the-top sponsors. Fill up that cup of coffee or tea or whatever you're drinking this morning, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Hammer Time. We have discussed humidity and humidifiers.
Mm-hmm.
So this morning, we are going to discuss law.
Perfect.
L-A-W.
Perfect.
Because we have a lawyer in the house. So listeners, I'd like to introduce everybody to Mr. Mike Minlove, owner of Minlove Law in Prescott Valley. So, welcome to Hammer Time, my friend.
Thank you, Sandy, for having me.
This is going to be great. We've got some good discussions that we need to air today.
Yes, we do.
Now, before we get on with our program,
mm-hmm.
I understand, Mr. Minlove, that you have a disclaimer that we need to read and send out over the airwaves.
You know us attorneys. Yes.
Yes. So the show is yours.
The information provided on this interview is for general information purposes only and is not an alternative to legal advice from your lawyer, other professional service provider or expert. It is not intended to provide legal advice or opinions of any kind. You should not act or refrain from acting based solely upon information provided without first seeking appropriate legal or other professional advice. If you have any specific questions about any legal matter, you should consult your lawyer, other professional service provider, or expert. This information is provided for convenience only.
Way Perfect. To go. Perfect. A plus on the disclaimer.
And it makes a lot of sense. It's kind of like saying my car doesn't run. Well, there could be 1,001 reasons, so you need to take it to your mechanic. Well, the same case with law, you need to sit down with your attorney.
Correct. So we're so happy to have you with us. Okay. When you were last on our program years ago, I had not been doing this, what do we want to call it, this little...
My visual, non-visual joke. Comic.
And they're kind of cool. And sometimes Mike doesn't get them. So we're going to just start right out of the gate this morning. So here's the visual comic. So there's two cats, and they're sitting at a desk in a rental agency. And there's a lady behind the desk at the computer. And one of the cats says, "We're looking for a quiet neighborhood where everyone feeds us because they all believe we belong to them."
And that is true when you come to wild cats or cats.
Do you not think it's
on
funny?
The loose.
Mr. Minlove?
I'm more of a dog person. My dog sometimes acts like a cat, but he's a good dog.
So good.
But I think you could substitute dogs in there, and in place of the cats, it'd be the same thing. We're looking for an environment where people are nice to us.
Yeah.
Gonna
door
feed
to
us.
Door. Who's going to feed us? Gosh, I'm kind of looking for that environment.
Aren't we all just looking for that?
We're just all looking
Truth
for a
society.
Nice environment where we can go get fed.
I was going to say, in my early 20s, I was looking for a gal, you know,
all over the place
that would feed me.
Okay. So back to the seriousness of our show. You guys, what do you think about the groundhog?
You know, I like Punxsutawney Phil, but I'm never sure that I agree with him. I think there's going to be, well, and sometimes I do agree with him, but personally I think there is going to be 6 more weeks, unfortunately, of winter.
Mr. Mike Minlove?
You know, I don't know if we've had any winter so far anyway.
That's true.
6 more weeks of what we had, I think that's great.
Yeah, we'll be just fine.
Although we don't live back east, so I guess we got blessings that way.
I know, they've had a tough winter.
Boy.
I think we need to move Punxsutawney to Arizona.
It might become like a horny toad or something like that.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, Minlove Law, how long have you been an attorney?
Since 2014, I graduated and took the bar in 2014 and worked for a corporation for a while, and then in 2017 moved up here to the Prescott area and started my practice up here.
Did you pass the bar the first time?
I did.
Whoa, congratulations.
Very good.
Is it tough? People say it's really hard. Is it tough?
It's pretty hard.
It is?
It's a hard exam, but... You study for it and prepare for it, and you know it's as hard as preparation, as much preparation as you do or don't do. So
kind of like the contractor licensing test.
Yeah.
Is it all multiple choice?
It's a 2-day exam.
Oh,
they have a multiple choice section, they have a written section, and then you have to go through. Surprisingly, I know everybody thinks lawyers are blood-sucking vampires, but we have an ethics exam that we have to pass too. So
good.
Separate from that.
So do the contractors. You have your statutes and rules exam that you need to pass.
So, but one of the questions you failed to ask, and I'm sure I'm upstaging you because you would ask them anyway, is what brought you up to Prescott?
I grew up in Chino Valley, so this is kind of my home. We moved up here in I was 12 years old, so mid-90s, and my dad lives out here in the area. He was a contractor for quite a while, and so I kind of grew up in the construction industry and working construction, and then moved away and came back in 2017.
Way to
so you're
go.
Coming home.
Yeah.
Good for you.
For sure.
So Men Love Law, it's really a small boutique firm in Prescott Valley. I love how you've described it as a small boutique firm. I think that's that it's going to make people want to come to you, you know, versus these corporate giants.
Yeah. We try to keep our practice pretty focused, and so we can serve our clients well and give them the service they need, but also, you know, focus our practice on the areas that we want to focus on.
So I heard something on the radio the other day that AI, this artificial intelligence, we all know that attorneys charge by the hour. There's $200 an hour up to probably $1,000 an hour or $999 an hour. So I heard on the radio that folks are going to AI asking for legal help, and that could be kind of scary.
No, this AI, I mean, it's not, you know, nothing, not no opinion on whether it's good or bad, because I think just like most things, there's good and bad
right.
about it, but it opens up a whole new realm of copyright laws and I heard on the radio the other day that somebody had written a song, or AI had written a song that was similar enough to another song, and there was a copyright issue. And
really?
Yeah, so there's, I think this the AI opens up a whole new realm of legal issues, from AI providing legal advice and counsel, because what happens if that goes wrong? Who's held accountable? So it's an interesting realm that I think we're being opened up to in a lot of areas.
Yeah. Plus, you're not sitting across a table from AI to where you can have an interchange of question and answers to get a better grasp of the situation.
Yeah, exactly. There's no... While I'm sure the algorithms are exponentially, you know, something that I can't even comprehend, but, you know, there's still no... question answer of, you know, really in taking the issue here. So
where did AI come from? I mean, who birthed it? I mean, how did it happen? I mean, 3 years ago we weren't talking AI.
The Terminator.
it happened in the nerdish world, and I use that favorably, of the computer industry.
Okay, well, listeners, be afraid of AI.
But my it's like I didn't realize how big it was, but you know, my kids, like, you could go on I think it's ChatGPT.
I love ChatGPT.
And get like full reports written for them, and it's like a pretty big thing.
So the other day I thought I want to see who this ChatGPT is. So I went to ChatGPT and I said, I would like to know why fire sprinklers are important. Oh my gosh. Spit it out probably 700 words in 5 seconds.
Hmm. Well, there's your report.
There was my report. So listeners, we're going to take a break. We're going to let you digest ChatGPT and AI. And when we come back, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of Mr. Mike Minlove of Minlove Law.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, and welcome back to Hammer Time, brought to you by YCCA. Okay, we will get into law in 1 second. What about the football games?
Small diversion.
What about the football games?
Ooh.
Because we've kind of now turned into a little sports show. What about the football games?
Well, another week we're going to know what the ultimate.
I know, but were you happy? Did you watch them?
Actually, I watch both of them.
Okay.
And I've gotten to the point where I've kind of gotten away from watching football over the taking a knee issue. That's just personal. But we do watch the. We've kind of gotten hooked on the finals, so to speak. But I was kind of rooting for the Lions.
I know, because they've never been there before.
Yeah, and that my wife was on the other end.
I felt sad.
Because she liked the opposite team, but I thought that the Lions, they came out smoking. They really gave it a shot.
Mr. Minlove, did you watch football?
I didn't. I was
You were at work.
No, well, I had my son's had some wrestling tournaments the weekend.
Cool. But, okay.
I'm an underdog fan too, so I like the Lions. But
so anyway, we'll see what happens. Engineer, what did you do?
Well, I just wanted to advise that we will have a live broadcast of the Super Bowl next Sunday,
cool.
the 11th, right here on KQ&A, beginning at noon. Kickoff of the game expected somewhere around 4:30.
Uh huh. Well, in the meantime,
to go, Gregory.
Will you be serving chips and dip or wings?
Can we come to this
at my house?
Oh. Dang. Okay. So let's talk Minlove Law. What is the biggest thing taking place now in the legal field? What do you see a lot of? What are people not doing that they should be doing? That's a lot of questions there.
Yeah, I'll field the first one. I don't know about the biggest, but one of the things at the forefront of that should be at the forefront of a lot of business owners' minds, and since that's, I think, a big part of our audience here, is the Corporate Transparency Act. And this was a law that came into effect January 1st, 2024. Officially, I'll give you the official name since it's since I'm an attorney. It's HR 6395-1217, but we'll just call it the Corporate Transparency Act. So what this is Congress made this law in 2021, and it was a law created to help combat against financial crimes, tax fraud, money laundering, illegal funding of illegal activities. So basically, the government was trying to crack down on these different crimes, and through the Corporate Transparency Act. And what it is a law that basically requires additional reporting for certain types of businesses.
Gosh, talk about Big Brother.
And it kind of came out of the blue, so to speak, that it really wasn't publicized that
right.
well until right at the year end.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard about it in October of 2023, mm-hmm. and I was trying to do whatever I could to get the notice out to all these small businesses. I think the information that I saw that they projected it to affect 27 million businesses in America. So there's quite a few small businesses that are impacted by this law.
So we received the notice from the Corporation Commission, and I've sent that out to our membership a couple times.
Awesome.
But are there ramifications where a business doesn't have to comply?
Or yeah.
And what are those, Mr. Minlove? Do you know?
So some businesses are exempt. Those exempt businesses are banks, investment companies. There's 23 exemptions. I'm not going to list them all.
They take all the money. That's where the laundering goes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got the money, so they're, you know,
it's
how
the golden rule.
Yeah. Whoever has the gold makes the rules.
Sorry.
So there's 23 exemptions. The main ones are banks, investment companies, non-taxable entities, so your charitable organizations, insurance companies. And then the main one that will exempt a lot of companies is your, they're calling it the large company exemption. And what the large company exemption is, you have to have 20 full-time employees operating in the United States, and your income tax gross revenues have to be greater than $5 million. So it's an and. 20 employees and greater than $5 million.
Mike, you're off the hook.
In your dreams. But thank you for that compliment. I do appreciate it.
Have you filed?
Well, it's just because I don't have the sufficient number of employees, I'm sure.
I know. But you know what? The other thing with this is that the violations and the penalties are pretty scary.
That's what I say. I don't like to go to jail, and the violations are $500 a day, up to $10,000 and 2 years in prison. So
that's a big deal.
Do you think because of the fact that this wasn't widely publicized that they're going to go easy for a period of time, whether that's 3 months, 6 months?
Yeah, so I don't know exactly how they're going to police it. And
yeah.
Most of my clients, I just say comply. Mm-hmm. But they do have a period of time where they're – so pre-existing businesses, anything that's pre-existing prior to January 1st, 2024, have until December 31st, 2024 to file. And then new entities filed after January 1st have 90 days to comply. So you have a period of time in there where you have some extra time to file.
Okay, listeners, if you own a business, you need to really, really look at this Corporate Transparency Act.
My personal piece of advice is don't let it go
right
to the end of the year if that's the category you fall in, because all of a sudden the end of the year will come here, pass, and next first quarter of 25 you're going to say, oh shoot, I should have, and then it's too late. So
yeah.
So if you have questions, if you're worried about whether or not you must comply, reach out to Mike Minlove at Minlove Law, and Mike, you can guide them, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Is it relatively easy to? It is.
Okay.
I can give you the website. You know, it's really easy, but you just go on the website and it says file. You follow the steps. You have to submit like a copy of your driver's license and some things, and the information is pretty straightforward, but you just need to do it.
Yep. Just do it.
Don't get AI involved.
Yeah.
Do it yourself.
Don't ask ChatGPT.
Yeah. Yes, don't ask Chat. Okay, Minlove Law, what do you spend most of your passionate time helping business owners and individuals with? What do we mess up the most?
I think, I like to take my practice from a point of planning ahead, and that's really what a lot of my practice is proactive planning, whether that's your estate planning or business needs, rather than reactive, and I just think that's a better way to operate. And so I do a lot of estate planning, which includes wills and trusts and powers of attorney and those types of actions to plan for when you're incapacitated or when you pass away. And then that fits really closely with businesses, because obviously business owners, those things happen too. So exiting businesses, you know, when there's a partnership or when there's two business owners, what happens when one business owner wants to leave? What happens when one business owner is incapacitated or dies? All those things, with a little bit of planning, makes it much easier for, when those times come.
So with the estate planning and doing proper preparations, that would help keep estates out of probate, correct?
Yeah, probate and also just
family arguments.
Yeah, arguments and those types of things, which usually I tell my clients, you know, when those things happen, the parties that usually come out on top are the attorneys, you know, because you're just fighting and the attorneys make a lot of money. So,
Mike?
Yes.
Mr. Minlove, Mike, we have to take a break.
We'll be right back.
We will be right back because we love this show, so don't move.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Six more weeks of winter. We're counting on that groundhog.
I think so.
But not for us.
We need the moisture, so give it to them back east and keep our winter as we've come to appreciate it.
Mr. Minlove, Mike Minlove of Minlove Law, is with us in the studio today, and we left at the bottom of the hour how estate planning is critically important. Have a will. Everybody should have a will or a trust, correct?
Yeah, I think everybody should have at least a will. You know, depending upon your, again, back to go seek legal advice, but depending upon your situation, will to direct who you want to take care of things, how you want it to be taken care of, and who will get things is, you know, pretty critical.
So I have a little book at home, mm-hmm. and the book says, "I'm dead, now what?" Mm. And inside my book, I have my directives. Here's the key to my car. Here's the key to my house. Here, this person gets this, and this person is going to take care of all this. And these pictures, and I've taken a picture of all my art, and I've said this art goes to the Phippen Museum. This art goes to this person. So I'm getting there. I'm not completely done, but I see and sense the importance of it.
So is that why you called for my address and information? So because you said something about any bills that come in
they
after
all go to you. Yes, they go to you. Send the bill here.
Mike has to agree that he agrees to take on all the bills, right?
Yes. So that's a question. Okay. So after someone dies, everybody now has a credit card. What happens to that balance if it's not paid off? Do you send them the death certificate and they wave it goodbye?
Well, no, not technically. The debt does not follow to the beneficiaries. The debt stays with the estate. So if you have, you know, $10,000 in your bank account and you have a credit card for $1,000, that debt would be part of the
interesting
estate. Now, there's ways to negotiate it down, but yeah, that's technically how it is.
I think one of the things that gets confusing for people is the difference between a will, what a will will do versus what a trust will do.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a good question, and I get it all the time, is, you know, what's the difference between a will and a trust? And they serve a lot of the same purposes, you know, basically directing your estate upon your passing and who to take care of things. A trust is takes a lot, has a lot more ability to plan for incapacity. There's a lot more ability to do some in-depth planning through, you know, how you want distributions to make to be made. If you have distributions that are, you know, for minor children, for example, or if your beneficiaries are disabled where they're getting money over time, that's a better use of a trust. So mm-hmm. I mentioned I came from a construction background, and so I usually refer to things in terms that I know, and I say they're tools. So, you know, a trust is a certain type of tool to handle a certain job, and a will is a certain tool to handle a job, and you wouldn't use a hammer to do the tool of a saw, and vice versa. So it really depends on your situation and what they do, and, you know, they're just tools to accomplish, you know, a task.
Mm-hmm. And then I have my tool. I'm dead, now what? Here's my book.
Now, you hope they find your book, though.
So now my book is going to my person in charge, so they will have my book.
Good.
I'm not leaving that in the house because, seriously. Okay, how about contracts and agreements? Can people come to you and say, I need a contract, or could you look this contract over, and is it lopsided? Do you do a lot of that?
We do a lot of that, especially with our pre-existing clients that are, you know, business clients that we work with on a continued basis. They'll bring a contract and say, can you look this over, or we have with some of my contractor clients, you know, can you create a contract for a sub, you know, contractor agreement or anything like that we'll do. We do quite a bit of that too.
Good, because I get calls for that, especially some of the new kids just starting out. They have this piece of paper and they don't understand. They need more than this piece of paper.
Yeah, or I mean, sometimes they don't even use this piece of paper. They use this handshake. No. And
oh, I know. That still happens.
Not the best way to protect yourself.
We talk about that, don't we, all the time, Mike?
Were we in the days where the handshake was prevailing and a man's word meant something? Unfortunately, we are in a whole different environment.
I agree. I wish that we were in those days, but
much simpler.
Unfortunately, it's just not a safe way to protect yourself.
It's not. Correct. Just it's really something different. It makes me want to maybe digress and go back to that era of when it used to happen.
So then you could prohibit the internet from being developed and the AI
and
from being developed.
AI wouldn't have even been
going
around
a different direction.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. How about employment law?
I do a little bit of employment law, but mostly related to my business clients.
Okay.
So if my business client needs some specific advice on employment for their employees, but I don't do disputes, so employment disputes, things like that, I don't really handle. It's for pre-existing business clients.
Perfect. So do you keep busy Monday through?
We have a 4-day work week, so we work 4-10s Monday through Thursday. We were going five work days, but we figured because there's a lot of working, our clients are working, so we extended our hours Monday through Thursday, give our clients access to during those off hours where they might not be working.
Super.
And then I bet your 4-10s turn into what? 5-20s?
Oh, yeah, for me. I mean, it's not 4-10s for me.
No,
but
I know.
The office,
I know.
It means that usually the boss gets to go in on the day off for everybody else because the phones aren't ringing and they can get some work done.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
I know
what happens.
Mine are not 4-10s either. Mine are 7-somethings, I think, sometimes.
And I won't chastise you for seeing you working again last weekend. But
you know, we just have to do.
We do what we have
There's
to do.
There's a lot to be done out there and conversations to be had and things to be arranged.
The reason I don't call and chastise you is I notice you when I'm
there longer.
No, it's because I notice you while I'm on my way to my office.
See? So. Okay, so what else, Mr. Minlove, is important to you in the sphere of law?
I think there's a few things with businesses that I would. Sometimes we don't plan for the exit strategy. We go into a business, or I meet with people that are starting a business, and when it's a sole prop or sole owner, it's not really a big deal. But when we have multiple owners, you go into it and we have rainbows and flowers and everything looks great, and we fail to plan for what happens if something goes wrong. And so I would, if I had some not advice, because it's not advice, but information for this, I would say when you're starting a business, go in with the end in sight and think about the whole the whole realm and of that relationship, when it starts, how it's going to grow, and what's going to happen at the end.
Go ahead.
Oh, I see. When you meet with your counsel, your experts, talk to them about that whole realm of what's going to happen.
That's great advice. As builders, we do kind of the same thing when we're working with clients and suggest that they look, you may want to consider the resale value. Now, granted, you're just building the structure, but if you leave out a commode in this bathroom, gosh, when you go to sell this house, it's going to come back to bite you. Or it's going to be located in a strange, then maybe you want to put in a underslab fixture or a connection to where that could be moved at a later date. So you do want to look at the end game, even when you're just at the infancy of starting. Good advice.
Great advice, but I don't think it's adhered to enough.
Probably not.
It's not. I mean, people just move on and take the easy way and, I'm not going to have any problems.
Well, I think Mike's comment about flowers and chocolates or whatever, when you're at the infancy, you're looking at all the positive factors.
Yeah,
and the last thing you think about is the negatives or the tail end.
Hey, you're excited about the building the house or the business relationship that's going on, and you got this great idea, and you got energy, and you got this friend that's doing something, and you guys are going to build this structure that's going to rule the world, and awesome and great, and I love that. But things change, and then the resale value, or you know, whatever's going to happen in the future.
Right.
Are you going to get married, and what's going to happen with that relationship, or a divorce, and what's going to happen with that relationship? Are you going to have a partner that, you know, because there's a divorce, are you going to have a partner that you never intended to have? You know, so there's a lot of different unknown circumstances that, you know, could be possibly out of your control that you just need. But if you plan for, if you plan ahead, it could be avoided. Just like with the construction, and, you know, put that in your plans of, you know, this, you can be moved or adding this later. If you have proper documents when you start, an exit strategy, those potential issues could be avoided or minimized. Maybe not avoided totally, but minimized.
Good point.
Life would be so easy. What about your kids? We have to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about your kids. The engineer is going to unplug me. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
Mr. Minlove, this has been a great show this morning. Thanks for being with Mike and me.
This has been fantastic. I appreciate it.
You are a genius, a wealth of... No, Mike likes to say a plethora. A plethora of knowledge.
Good word.
And expertise. So thank you. We shall be connected at the hip for life. What about your children? Do you think any of them want to follow in your footsteps of being an attorney?
They from time to time we've talked about it. I have three great kids. I have a 16-year-old daughter who's at Chino Valley High School, a 14-year-old son who's at Mile High Middle School, and then an 11-year-old son who's at a charter school in Prescott Valley, and they're great kids. I think out of all of them, my daughter would probably be the one to follow in my steps, but not in the area of practice that I practice. She'd probably go into some civil rights because she's pretty, like, she likes to stand up for justice.
Great.
And so she's, but.
Do they take you to school, show and tell? This is my dad, my dad, the attorney.
No, they've never, no.
Okay. We did that when we were kids. Yeah,
but I don't know if schools do that anymore.
I wonder. I guess not.
Yeah, I've never been to their schools, but
interesting.
Probably.
How about sharing your office location and your hours, please, and your website?
We are located in Prescott Valley, on the corner of Winsong and Florentine, and the address is 3033. North Winsong Drive, Suite 202.
And your phone?
Phone number is area code 928-772-5494. And our website is www.menlovelaw.com.
And Menlove is M-E-N-L-O-V-E.
That is right.
What type of nationality is Menlove?
English.
Okay.
Apparently in England, there's
Minlove.
A road or something.
Called Minlove Road.
Yeah. I think we're something big deal over there, but there's not very many of us over here.
Well, then you need to go to England and take a picture of the street sign.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Take a trip.
Yes. So, great show. I loved it. A wealth of knowledge. Thank you for sharing the Corporate Transparency Act. And to all of our business owners out there, seriously, you need to take a look at it and file, apply, do whatever, so you don't get fined and go to prison for 2 years, because that would not be much fun.
So just one of the questions I had, just to inform people, you handle both business issues and situations and contracts as well as personal individual issues and contracts.
Yeah, yeah. So, and on the personal side, mostly related to estate planning and, and those types of situations. And the clients that I have for business, you know, I will service them, you know, in a broader, you know, kind of spectrum than I would just somebody coming to, you know, request. Like, I don't do car accidents. I don't do criminal, any of that stuff. So
do you do arbitration and mediation?
No, but I highly recommend it to all my clients.
It's a good way.
Absolutely.
It could save a lot of money.
Yep. That's what I, anything that can save money and time and fees are is the best way to resolve a problem.
Perfect.
Would agree.
I think we would all agree. What about, so are you in your office? Do you go to court a lot? Or are you primarily in your office?
Primarily in my office.
Okay.
I don't, the type of practice that I have, you know, we often call it, we, you know, it's a lot of documents that we, in transactional, so we do a lot of transactions. I don't go to court very often. With my probate cases, I'll go every once in a while, but not too often.
So if people in my office, I get a lot of walk-ins, and I refuse to say, oh, you don't have an appointment, come back. I mean, you're here, here I am, I'll stop what I'm doing, I'm all yours. Do people walk in, or do you need to have an appointment to see them and consult with them?
Preferably an appointment.
Okay.
If I'm available and somebody comes in and they have a question or something, especially if they're pre-existing, then I'll meet with them. But a lot of times I'm in appointments already.
Okay.
So if they come in and you know, they spend the time to come down there, I will meet with them if I can. But if I'm with somebody else, I,
right,
you know, I have to, I can't cut out from my time with my other clients. So.
Do you have a consulting fee, or do you speak with someone about their challenge for 30 minutes for no charge, or how does that work?
Most of the time my consult fee is free.
Okay.
So with estate planning and those probate cases, some of the business clients that I'll charge a consult fee, so it just depends, but most of the time it's free.
You know, as far as walk-in traffic, one of the things that's advantageous, I think, with any business entity is when people walk in, there a lot of times they don't have the information,
right,
with them that they're there to address. So if you set up a meeting in advance, the other party can say, you know, you need to bring in, if we're going to talk about a will, you need to bring in the following information with you. So it's very, very helpful for both parties if you call and set up an appointment as opposed to walk in.
You tell them, please bring me your I'm Dead Now What book.
Exactly. Bring the book.
Bring the book. I'm dead. Hopefully you're not already dead.
And don't die before you bring me that book, please.
Okay. We have to take a little break, and when we come back, we're all going to say goodbye. See you next weekend. Don't move.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
Mr. Minlove, thank you so much for being with Mike and me this morning and sharing awesome information.
Yes.
And being a part of our community and what you do and the services that you offer people for estate planning and business matters is pretty amazing, my friend. So keep up the good work.
Thank you. I'm grateful to be here.
And share your phone number one more time.
928-772-5494.
And YCCA, we are 928-778-0040. We're here for you. If you need a contractor, if you want to talk about a complaint, if you need a referral. I'm not an attorney. I cannot dispense legal advice. That's my disclaimer. But we can guide you in the right direction,
exactly,
which we have on so many different occasions. So, listeners, we'll see you at our home show in May 17th, 18th, and 19th. Until then, enjoy February. Go Kelsey and Taylor Swift. Best romance ever of the century. Until next weekend, I'm Sandy.
I'm Mike.
I'm Mike.
And we say, have a great weekend.
Watch out for those next 6 weeks.
Yeah, winter's coming. So we love you. Smile, wear your seatbelt, use your turn signal, and above all, be nice.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Have time.
Thank you for tuning in to Hammer Time. Waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Heard each and every Saturday morning at 7, with an encore presentation Sunday mornings at 7 on AM 1130 by 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and online at kqna.com. A library of past Hammer Time shows can be listened to on the Yavapai County Contractors website at ycca.org.
Break it down.